As we just heard from Kurt, the area of greatest concern with the census in Michigan is that Black and Latino communities will be undercounted, underrepresented. And being underrepresented in the national data can have large implications for those communities. Here to talk about it is someone who thinks about this a lot in her role with the Hispanic Center of West Michigan, Daniela Rojas Cortez. Welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Daniela, could you start by telling us a little bit about the community of Wyoming or, in general, West Michigan?
Sure. So the Hispanic Center in at large really serves Grand Rapids, but of course we do have a lot of clients that live in Wyoming, and there's a variety of people that we see. For the majority, I would say that we see undocumented individuals, but there are also Latinos that are first, second, third generation that live here in West Michigan. Some are U.S. born, some are not. Some are in the process of acquiring their green card, and some continue to kind of fight that battle.
I noticed in the census data from 10 years ago that in Wyoming, the population is about 22-23% Latino. But then, of course, in this course of this conversation, I'm thinking, well, that might be an underrepresentation in and of itself. Is that true to what you observe as the population in that area?
Yes, I would say that it is largely undercounted, and it probably was largely undercounted back in 2010. We know that those groups are growing faster and faster, and we know that it, usually all of West Michigan, about 16%, make up the population, but we got to know that it's probably closer to 20 to 25.
When we talk about West Michigan at large, it's very easy to think, well, of course, there are larger swaths of Latino immigrants who have come to the area as migrant farmers. But what is drawing people to West Michigan in general beyond that?
Yeah, I think the service industry and the farms that we do have in the West Michigan makes up for a lot of the jobs that Latinos have. There's also factories that employ large numbers of people. But I would say there's a huge population out in like our blueberry farms here in the West Coast of the state.
So the center got a grant to become a census hub. What has that meant for operations there and how is it going?
So, of course, the pandemic kind of put a halt to our ability to become a hub. The idea behind being a hub was to be able to give people access to the technology so that they could complete the census online. Mm-hmm. So now our efforts have turned to more about education through flyers and word of mouth. So we take full advantage of our food distribution that we are doing because of the pandemic to be able to get this education out, as well as our social media outlets.
And how is it going?
It's going okay. You know, the United Way and the City of Grand Rapids do keep us updated, and we're doing okay in terms of percentages. It's not as good as we would like it to be. There's still a lot of misconception and confusion around the census. And of course, the pandemic sort of put the census even further in a back burner. If it wasn't in people's mind, definitely it's not in their mind right now during the pandemic as they're trying to survive day to day.
Daniela, would you say that the challenges have more to do with access and the ability to communicate with people who should be counted who aren't, or a resistance to being counted in the census?
I think there's a combination. There is, of course, the access to technology is huge. And of course, there's some people that have had to back or limit their data on their cell phones or smartphones due to the pandemic or losing jobs. But we know that language barriers, poverty, the education of perhaps the head of household, and then the immigrant status is really all of those play part into why people are not completing the census.
I think we are living in an era where we can safely say that social media alone has created a vibe of misconception, misinformation, and just general conspiracy theory beyond that.
Yes.
But has there been some of what we've seen coming down from whether or not there would be a question about citizenship on the census, which there isn't? Has some of that has been tangible and reported from Washington affected the interest or desire to participate in the census among the Latino population?
I think it has definitely played a better role, or at least to say that it encouraged people. But again, there's still distrust. You can say that, they're not going to ask you, but they're still asking for your name. They're still asking for your address. They're still asking for very personal information. And I think that another thing that really backs people away from participation is just this aggressive immigration reform that we currently have. So that participation kind of lowers because it's like, well, you say that you care about counting Latinos, you care about the Latinx community being represented, but look at what's also happening with immigration reform.
Do you think that this is something that has an easy solve to you over the near term or long term?
I think as of right now, we're looking at some of the largest demographic that are young US-born Latinos that will be eligible to vote. So I think that there'll be a higher interest for this new wave of children to participate not only in the census but to vote. So I think we're going in the right direction, but it's probably going to take a few more decades for the Latino numbers to be accurately accounted for.
This week, the Trump administration also announced that it wants undocumented immigrants to be discounted from congressional representation. That would be completely unprecedented in how congressional numbers are divvied up among states. What would that mean for West Michigan?
We do know that it's super important that congressional representation is included, especially as we get closer to voting. Because we want these numbers to be represented, and a lot of these people will need language assistance. And if you're not accounted for in your county, then they won't know about the assistance that by law is required depending on those numbers.
So when you're talking to individuals about the importance of filling out a census form, what do you talk to them about the significance of doing so and the importance of it?
We need to rely on the especially how it benefits them if they're not documented. A lot of the misconception is, well, if I'm undocumented, how is this going to impact me? So we talk about the general things that will impact their children in terms of education, access to food, and then also the longevity of that money that gets distributed. Perhaps you're not in a position to directly benefit from it now, but you could be in 6, 8 years, and that funding is necessary for all of that. So a lot of the questions we do get is, who has access to the information? Who will have access to my personal information? What is it for? And so we try to relay messages about general hospitals, health, and of course, fixing the roads and that kind of thing.
Daniela, what else is on your mind when it comes to the count?
Let's see. I think it's just important that we have these conversations and that families are having this conversation, especially as children are more and more US born, so that people understand that Medicaid and food, supplemental nutrition assistance programs, and all of those things that really impact the children, that the families really take into account, that they may not benefit, but their children will, so that to make sure that they get accounted.
Daniela Rojas Cortez is with Fund Development and Communications at the Hispanic Center of Western Michigan. Daniela, thank you so much.
Thank you.